Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so sure enough, there was a brand new one that popped up over there yesterday. Hopefully you swung on by, took a look at it. If not, hey, don't worry about it. It's still there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you can like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, the Man with three.
All right, Dan, you know, as you know, I'm not a gigantic NBA fan, but the last 2 days they've just had some almost I don't even know how to describe it, unbelievable, whatever, the biggest you could come up with, reffing blunders, and I just can't figure out the stupidity here with these guys. If you haven't had a chance, go look for these two videos. Two days ago, might have been 3 days ago now, James Harden dunks. The ball goes through the net, and it gets hung up in the net, so it pops back up. And they didn't call it a basket. Now, Dan, they have review. What the hell was going on?
Wait, so the ball bounced out?
Yeah, well, it went through the net, and then it must have been a newer net, because I'm sure you've had it where the ball is kind of hung up at the bottom and then spun to where it actually went back up towards the rim. And then the net actually hung up on the rim, and the ball popped up, you know, back up towards the rim. So it did actually look like the ball didn't go in. But it was clear watching it that he dunked. And yet they didn't give him credit for the hoop. The Rockets ended up going on to lose by 2 points in double overtime. So they did protest the game, and they asked the NBA to replay it from the point of where this occurred. I don't know if that'll happen, but we'll see what goes on. But, yeah, I was thinking a league with, you know, with replay – should be able to fix this, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't. So, you know, and then last night, this one's even funnier. LeBron James is bringing the ball up the court last night in the Lakers-Jazz game. Just dribbling along, you know, there's no pressure on him. All of a sudden, out of the blue, he stops dribbling, takes 3.5 steps, and there's a referee looking right at him, didn't call a travel on him, just let the play continue. You know, and now this wasn't like he was going to the hoop or he was doing any kind of move or anything. He was literally bringing the ball up the floor. He was dribbling the ball. He took 3.5 steps, and then he started dribbling again. And this jackass official looking right at him didn't blow his whistle.
Well, and you got
and,
here.
And this, Yeah, this jackass ref's name is, I'm guessing this is Jason, J-A-C-Y-N, Goble, G-O-B-L-E. He should be fired. No questions asked. I don't give a shit if they got a union or not. This guy needs to be canned. There's absolutely no reason he should be out on a floor reffing an NBA game because it's clear he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, star or not, you don't give a guy 3.5 steps.
Well, and that was in the first, so I mean, it's really early in the game.
What, so he was still warming up?
Yeah. Well, you know, what surprises me, too, is it was on the road.
Yeah, you know, to make it even worse, you know. And, you know, the funny thing about it is, like, LeBron knew he traveled. The Utah player who was guarding him was Bojan Bogdanovic. He literally starts flapping his arms and waving at the ref. And, you know, it's not like the ref was looking away. I could see if, okay, maybe he was looking in the lane or something going on. He was literally looking right at LeBron James dribbling the basketball. But his head was so far up his ass, he couldn't blow his whistle. You know, and I mean, obviously, this would have made no difference in the game. I mean, the Lakers won easily, even though they did score on that play. So maybe it would have just been 119-96. But, you know, it irritates me when, you know, you can't do the simplest thing on your job. So... But yeah, it's, you know, just incredibly stupid. I mean, you know, at least in the Rocket game, you know, I could score the ball. You know, maybe it fooled the ref and the ref thought it came out or it bounced off the cylinder or something. But this was unmistakably a travel. And this guy was just too stupid or too chicken shit to call it on LeBron James. So, you know, he's definitely a guy who needs to find a new line of work because he doesn't deserve to be a referee.
No, not at all. I mean, is it his first day on the job?
Must have been. Yeah, just one of those stupid things. It was like, really? Yeah. Again, like I said, I mean, it had absolutely no impact on the game. So I don't know why you don't call it there. I mean, you know, it's clear that, you know, he must think he's under some directive to not call this kind of thing against LeBron or whatever you want to look at him. You know, I mean, we know the stars get away with these kind of things. But, you know, even to that extent, I mean, this was just so extremely stupid and right out in front of everybody that, you know, just blow the damn whistle, idiot. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, just another reason why I don't want to watch the NBA, you know. So, yeah, it sounds like whatever. You guys suck, and, you know. And I, you want to know why your ratings are down? Hey, maybe that's part of the reason. Because your refs are a joke. So, you know, just one of those. Hey, but on the plus side, Dan, the Bulls have won 3 straight games. You excited about that?
Yay!
So, you know, do they have 10 wins already? I don't know how many wins they have this year. I tell you, I've watched maybe 2 minutes of Bulls basketball this year because I just assume that. Suck. Oh, they have 8 wins. I had them pegged for 20, so maybe they'll beat my prediction. So, well, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, you know, yeah, the only thing I pay attention to in the NBA now is our fantasy league. Other than that, I could care less, you know, who's doing what or who's putting up what. You know, I do play the free FanDuel stuff we get that I send you every day, but you know, other than that, I mean, I don't understand why anybody even enjoys this game, you know, anymore. What, you know, with what it's turned into. So, let's see if they have an update on this game, Harden protest. If they if come to anything, there's an article here. So, no, it's just talking about them filing. Whoopee. So, you know, I mean, yeah, do they, I don't know. You think they'll actually go back and replay this game? You know, there was like 7:50 left in the game, and Houston was winning 101-89. If you give them the hoop, it's 103-89. Do you think they'll actually go back and play it? I mean, is one game or one win going to mean that much to Houston? I mean, it might mean something to San Antonio about getting the playoffs or not, but I don't think it's going to affect Houston, do you?
No, not at all.
So I don't know. What do you think they do? What are you going to do if you're the NBA?
You're going to do what they always do. Admit they were wrong and then do nothing about it.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be good. I would like that because I don't want them to do anything about it. So, you know, that makes things a little easier. So, well, all right. Well, we've talked enough NBA for the rest of the month. We're going to have to discuss them ever again. But, yeah, believe it or not.
We'll talk about the Christmas Day lineup.
Ooh, I don't want to talk about the Christmas Day lineup. So it's been enough. I might actually have to watch the Christmas Day lineup if there's something else on. So, you know, just one of those, one of those things. But, you know, we had two trades today in baseball, Dan, so we're getting, you know, a lot of activity early. You know, I kind of like it. I think it's kind of cool that they're actually, you know, going out and doing this. And, we kind of figured sooner or later the Brewers were going to need to do something at catcher. Well, they did make that move today. They went out and let me get this guy's name right. It's pretty simple. Right-handed minor league pitcher Adam Hill to the Seattle Mariners, and in return they get catcher Omar Narváez, former White Sox. Now this is another thing I had a good chuckle about today, Dan. You know, Narváez had a really good year with Seattle last year. He played in 132 games, hit a career-high 278, a career-high 22 home runs, and drove in a career-high 55 RBIs. Now, his defensive metrics were down, Dan. He didn't rate very well as a pitch framer. And while they were talking about it, you know, after – I can't remember who the first guy they talked about defended it and talked about how, yeah, it was something he was going to have to work on, blah, blah, blah. They turned to Ron Darling, who was a pretty good major league pitcher. And he basically said it didn't matter because he brought up the point of you're only as good as a pitch framer as the staff you're catching. And he managed to point out that Robinson Chirinos' defensive metrics improved last year after he went from the Rangers to the Astros, where he got to catch Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Zach Greinke for part of a year. Kind of an interesting ploy on pitch framing, isn't it, Dan?
So he only got better because the staff was better.
Right. So really, as a catcher, defensively, you're really only as good as the staff around you. I mean, if you've got a staff that isn't throwing strikes, it doesn't matter what kind of pitch framer you are, you're not going to get the ball. You know, and then, you know, on the plus side, I mean, if you look at the Mariners' staff last year, with the exception of, you know, the King, who, you know, sadly looks like he might be at the end, even though he is 34 years old, and I was hoping he had a few more years left. What other guy in that rotation? Well, A, Dan, can you name another guy in that rotation? And B, what other guy in that rotation has the respect among umpires to get a call?
I don't even know.
Right. I mean, Marco Gonzalez had a good year, but he's just getting started. He doesn't have the umpire's respect yet. You know, Kichikuchi just came over from Japan. He's not getting them. Mike Leake's been around. You know, there was Wade LeBlanc, Tommy Lamone. I mean, some journeyman guys. Justice Sheffield made seven starts, but he's not at the point in his career where he's getting any calls. So, really, why do we keep talking about pitch framing with these guys? I don't get it. Haven't we proven enough now, Dan, that it doesn't mean anything?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, they can't find any other way to make the catching position sound exciting.
Well, you know, I mean, there's other things. I mean, God, you know, talk about maybe throwing guys out or blocking balls in the dirt. You know, there's got to be something going on there with that. But, you know, it's just, you know, by now everybody has debunked this so badly. But yet every analytical jackass brings it up like it's gold. And, you know, it's like, it means nothing. I don't care, you know, who it is. I mean, you know, like they mentioned here in the article about swapping Navarez for Grandal, and they talk about Grandal being a premier defender and especially in the pitch framing department. Do you really think he'll be, you know, again, and now this is a guy who made his name catching for who, Dan? The Dodgers, who have always had a really good pitching staff. Kind of interesting, isn't it, when you start looking at this, that the catchers who are good pitch framers catch for really good pitching teams?
I mean, Grandal should still be good then, right? Because at least he'll have three solid pitchers.
Well, you know, depending on what they do, I mean, obviously they'll have Giolito, but after that it's going to be kind of a crapshoot on what they're going to get out of those guys. So I guess we'll see if he's a premier defender in pitch, won't we?
Yeah.
But I kind of have the feeling that his numbers are going to go down. You know, and now Narvaez will probably go up moving over to the Brewers, who have a little better pitching staff than the Mariners. So, you know. But, yeah, you know, then, you know, like I said, in return, the Mariners get Adam Hill, or the Brewers get Adam Hill, and they also get what they call a competitive balanced draft pick, which is currently slotted at number 71. So we'll see. But, it looks like Hill pitched in the Midwest League last year, 26 games, 23 starts, was 7-9 with a 3.92 ERA. So, he wasn't too bad. He's only 22, so obviously, you know, he'll have some time to develop. So, you know, that was the first trade. And now this second trade, Dan, I'm going to need your help understanding it here. The Mets went out and acquired Jake Marisnyk from the Astros. In return, they gave up a left-handed pitcher by the name of Blake Taylor and an outfielder by the name of Kennedy Corona. You know, I guess the question that baffles me here is, do the Mets not realize you can only play three outfielders at a time? Because I'm really confused. Well, you know, I'm looking at their roster here, you know, and they've got you know, I get it. J.D. Davis can play multiple positions. So, okay, maybe you don't want to count him as a full-time outfielder. You still have Juan Lagares. You've got Michael Conforto. You've got Jeff McNeil. You got Brandon Nimmo. You got Dominic Smith, who you had to move to the outfield because Pete Alonso is a stud. And now you throw in Jake Marisnik. I believe you're still hanging on to Keon Broxton, hoping he'll develop. They can only play three at a time, right? It's not softball. They didn't add a 10th man.
Well, where's Jonas?
Yeah, and that's true. I forgot about him. You got Jonas coming back. So, you know, I think we're up to 8 outfielders, Dan. Where the hell are they all playing?
Shortstop.
The next stop will be Tinley Park.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, maybe, you know, McNeil or Davis comes in and plays third base. Because I think, is Todd Frazier a free agent? I thought Frazier might be a free agent. So, you know, you could get down to 7 that way. You know, but with, you know, with the money Robinson Cano's being paid, I don't think they're going to sit him on the bench. So, you know, they'll have, you know, they'll pretty much kind of have to play him. I'm just kind of looking at this going, okay. You know, and I mean, it's not like, you know, Marisnik here is, you know, a lights out outfielder. I know he's got a reputation as a really good defender, but, you know, he hit 233 last year. The year before that, he hit 211. Lifetime, he's a 227 hitter. I'm assuming the Mets have to move on from some of these guys now. You know, there's got to be more moves down the road, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Because, yeah, I can't see him carrying. You know, and honestly, you know, Conforto is a really good outfielder who needs to play every day. You know, Nimmo looks like another guy who's an everyday player. You mentioned, you know, if Jonas is back and Jonas is healthy, you can't leave him on, you can't leave him on the bench. So, yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, you know, looking here, the way they have this set up, they have this roster resource has Jeff McNeil as the starting third baseman. They do keep J.D. Davis at left field. Then it's Conforto in right and Nimmo in center. That puts Marisnik on the bench with Dominic Smith. What do they have for – do they have a return date for Cespedes? It doesn't look like they have a return date for him yet. But, you know, he's supposed to be back, I think, for the start of the season. You know, and then they just signed Jarrett Parker, and I know he's, you know, been kind of a, you know, miscellaneous up-and-down guy with the Giants, so I assume he'll start in AAA. But, yeah, Lagares must be a free agent. I don't see him listed on the roster, so at least they're out from under that. But, I don't know. what the hell are they doing? I think I asked you this question yesterday with one of the other teams. What the hell are they doing?
I'll try to get enough outfielders to trade for pitching.
Yeah, I guess. So, you know, they did something, but it looks like they gave up a pretty good reliever here in this Blake Taylor. He pitched in 3 levels last year. He went 2-3 with a 2.16 ERA over 40 games, and picked up 10 saves. So he looked like a pretty solid reliever. He's 24. You know, I know the Astros need the bullpen help. Maybe he'll end up in their bullpen. And then the Kennedy Corona is just a 19-year-old outfielder. What did he do? It looks like he bounced around through 3 leagues as well. He did hit 301 in 63 games total. So I'm starting to wonder now if maybe they just gave up too much to get Jake Marisnyk, who's Carlos Beltran's ex-teammate. So yeah, I don't know what the hell, what the hell the Mets are doing. So, of course, I guess we could say that for a while, right?
Yeah, well, they're trying to figure something out.
You see Jake Marisnyk being that answer?
No. Well, you know what's interesting, too, is I saw that the Astros want to try to land Contreras, too.
Yeah, well, they need catching help.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely clear. So, I wouldn't be overly surprised to see them. So, and they have the mind to get them to do it. You know, if they want to make a move like that, they have the prospects to give up. So, we'll have to see. They do have an article here. You mentioned that the question is, will the Cubs set up a Contreras sweepstakes? Is how they look at it. So. Because there were a lot of teams looking for catching. They list some of them here. Tampa Bay, Colorado, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Texas, and the Angels. I don't know why they don't mention the Astros, of course. You got to wonder if maybe, one of these things would jump in. I would assume, honestly, the Astros would make total sense to come get him with some of their prospects. And he signed, I know they added that Dustin Garneau, but he's not a starter. So, I think that would be a gigantic move for him. They're saying here, Contreras is only projected to earn $4.5 million next year. So it's not like he's going to take up a lot of salary room, and it's just his first year arbitration. So he's going to have control. I don't understand why the Cubs are even entertaining this, but, is it because he got a bad defensive rating, Dan?
Yeah, he's not a good enough pitch framer.
Yeah, because he doesn't always seem to come out on the bottom end of those, those metrics. So I guess maybe that's it. He's got to go because he can't frame pitches.
Yeah, he wants to visit the mound too often.
Yeah, So.
Well, I think we talked about that yesterday, too. They took himself a big hole that he's not going to be able to get out of. And the only way to do that is to move a guy like Contreras and Brian.
So, yeah, it's going to be a tough spot. It's interesting how the Astros have managed to kind of avoid that, and the Cubs stepped in it. So.
Yeah, well, and I think it's kind of twofold.
You kind of wonder what the difference is. Like the Astros got out two, they signed, I think they got Correa signed. While all the Cubs really did was get Rizzo on a great deal, that's about it, right?
Yeah, well, and, I know you're not the biggest fan of Jason Hayward contract, but I don't know. But I still think that is one of the, that's probably the biggest difference between Cubs and the Astros, that they didn't lock a guy that wasn't one of their own for 7 years at, 20 plus million a year. I guess they do have,
yeah.
You know, they did grab Greinke, but Greinke only has, you know, the high price contracts. I think, you know, Greinke, Verlander, what do they have, like 2 or 3 years left?
Yeah, that was the thing, you know, when they brought guys in, they didn't have, you know, like I think this is Greinke's last year in on that deal. So there's no, you know, there's no real, like, long term to it. They'll be able to just kind of go, well, you know, if we want to move on, we can move on.
So, I mean, you know, I think that's one of the advantages they had was they didn't pull these long term deals, which I think would almost work out for the Cubs, but, you know, it's player option, not club option. So that kind of hurts them a little bit. But in the end, I mean, the way they treat their outfield, unfortunately, however you look at it, they need Hayward out there whether his bat performs or not.
Oh, yeah.
Because they really have it. You know, aside from the, like, anomaly that Castellanos had last year, which, again, I think with Castellanos, his improvement came from the fact that when you're going out and trying to play every day in front of, would you say, a couple thousand people and a team that you know is not going anywhere, you know, I don't think the enthusiasm is just really all that there and go out there and do your job. And, you know, that's one of the things that we have to take into account is it's their job, but these guys are all competitive too. And they need a reason to go out there and do it, you know.
So, yeah. And you know, I'm waiting for the Cubs to start doing something because I'm kind of interested to see which way they're gonna go. You know, because like you know, like we had the talk yesterday that they want to move a big guy. I don't know. You know, I mean, I guess it's possible they move Contreras and one other guy, which, you know, I'm still convinced it's Chris Bryant if it's the right deal. But, you know, I would hate to see, you know, I don't want to see Contreras end up with, like, the Reds. I don't want to have to play him.
You know,
send him to the Angels. Let Joe Maddon have him back.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that's the thing. Everyone wants to you know, when it comes to rebuilds and things like that, keep referring back to the Astros and the Cubs. But, I mean, let's be honest. The Astros, I don't even want to say they did it right. I still believe they were in a position where they had no choice to do what they did. You know, it was a complete restructure of their organization as a whole. You know, this didn't start all because they lost couple hundred games, you know, back in whatever. I mean, it all started prior to that. I mean, they were just after they lost the World Series to the White Sox and then the Killer Bees were all gone and all the kind of big names you had there all disappeared by the end of 2010. And then, you know, their move from the American League, or I'm sorry, from the National League to the American League. And then, you know, just literally crapping out everything and starting over fresh, which is what they kind of had to do. And was it that they were the ones who, the St. Louis thing, were they stealing from St. Louis or St. Louis was stealing from them?
St. Louis was stealing from them.
Oh, okay. So we'll forget that theory. But I mean, they've done a complete rebuild, but it wasn't a 5-year plan like Theo put together. This was a long time in the making. And then it worked, and it's continuing to work. So, I'm, you know, the Cubs haven't continued to be a competitive team. Maybe within their division, but when it comes to the playoffs, no, unlike the Astros, who have been competitive for the last 3 or 4 seasons. So, I mean, it's a different route, and, you know, hopefully teams stop thinking that the rebuild is the complete way to go, which is kind of where – I was wondering if that's what you were thinking with the Cubs and Theo, because what option do you have left now? You've backed yourself into a corner and dug yourself into a hole. You know, we can keep going
with all those things, those sayings. But, you know, where do you go now? Is this one of those where we pull the Rick Hahn statement and say, well, when you see our next move, you'll know what we're doing, you know? Like,
yeah, I think the Astros rebuild took a little longer than the Cubs did, but they definitely handled it better on the back end. You know, like, I don't understand, looking at this Cubs talent, I don't understand why they're not in the playoffs every year. You know, it's still baffling to me that the last 2 years this team hasn't been a playoff team. And, you know, like, naturally you lay that off on the manager. So we'll see now with a change if that helped the team. But, I just don't understand. I mean, you win a World Series, and it looked like a team that should continue to compete for World Series titles. And, not all the moves have worked. Obviously, Tyler Chatwood didn't work out. The Brandon Morrow thing didn't help anything. I mean, when he was healthy and he pitched, he was really good. Problem was, he just wasn't healthy enough. So, it's just those kind of things that are going to set you back. And, so far the Astros haven't had that. You know, they brought Michael Brantley in last year, and he was fantastic. it's kind of hit or miss, and we'll see, if this can kind of make up for it. But I don't know if dumping a star player like they're talking about, at least if you move Contreras, you have Victor Caratini who can catch full time. But if you move Chris Bryant, does that make David Bodie your everyday third baseman? And how excited is that? How exciting is that?
Well, and that's kind of what I was joking about yesterday was, get rid of him, get rid of Javi, and we're left with all these guys that, are not everyday players, that are all late-inning defenders and, pinch runners and, pinch hitters for the pitcher. That's what you're left with. What you want to go with, that's up to you, Theo. Sign a guy for 6 years.
Right, it already seems to be to play Nico Horner at second next year. So your infield would be Rizzo, Horner, Baez, and Bodie?
Bodie, yeah.
Right, with Descalzo as the utility guy?
Oh, yeah, I forgot he's still there. Be a clubhouse leader and moral support.
He had a two-year deal, so he gets to stick around.
Nonsense pickup. I don't even have the word to describe what the point of that was. It was absolutely pointless. And when it comes to Nico Horner, I'm not going to knock the kid at all, but isn't this what you did with Ian Happ? Yeah, he was tearing it up the minor leagues.
Could he be
and then you bring him up. Everyday what?
Could he be the everyday third baseman if Brian has moved?
Yeah, I mean, that'll work out in probably like 3 years when he figures out how to play third base.
What do you mean? He's a super utility guy. He can play anywhere.
Except on the major league team.
he was the new Ben Zobrist when they brought him up. Remember?
Yeah. Well, and I made a comment on some post on Facebook, and it just, guys were tearing into me about how great. Oh, he's batting 400 and single A. Well, that's great. But he's been gone. He was put down because he wasn't producing. Yeah. Or wherever he was, that was just like. NBC Sports Chicago's Ben Zobrist tracker. He's hit a home run every day this week. Well, he should, because he's hitting off of kids who are just tossing the ball to him. It's like batting practice. You're down in Myrtle Beach or South Bend, Indiana.
Yes. See. So yeah, that, like I said, it'll be interesting. I'd like to see them make a move just to kind of get an idea of what they're doing and how they're going to go about it. I mean, you know, if we do see Contreras and, say, Bryant go, or just one of them go, is it prospects in return? Are we restocking the farm system? Or are we bringing something in to help us win this year? You know, that's kind of, you know, kind of my big question is where do they go? So, you know, we'll see. But, of course, you know, the other, you know, big name out there that we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with is, of course, Mookie Betts. There has been some more talk that the Red Sox actually think they're going to be able to work a way in to sign him. You know, we'll see how that goes. That could just be, you know, hype to kind of set up a deal. So we'll see. But, of course, you know, there's a lot of teams in line to, you know, who would be interested in him. And they put an article together here about the teams they think in order of who would be front and center to get Betts. And what did they do? Did they do 7 or 8? Did they do 10? Did they go 10 deep here? No, they went 8 deep. So we'll run through these here. You know, no surprise. And honestly, I think if Betts is traded, I think this is probably where he would end up. The Dodgers are at the top of the list. You know, now the Dodgers are another team who are right there at the luxury tax like the Red Sox, but the Dodgers don't care so much about paying it, you know, as the Red Sox do, you know, are this year and how that kind of works out. You know, obviously the Dodgers have the farm system to make this move. You know, and with Betts being in the last year of his deal, you're not going to have to give up as much as you would have if he had a year or two of arbitration left, because obviously there's no guarantee that you're going to have to sign him. So it's possible the Dodgers may only have to give up one top prospect with, you know, maybe 3 or 4 other mid-level guys to bring in a guy like Betts, and it would be a 4-for-1 deal. You know, there's also the rumor that the White Sox are interested in bringing in Jock Peterson again. You know, they had a lot of this talk last year, and the deal just never happened. You know, if Peterson was moved, that obviously would open up a spot for Betts to play full-time in the outfield. So, you know, I really think this is above and beyond the spot that he would land. You know, no doubt about it. This is his landing spot if they're going to make this move. But, you know, we'll see. Now, number two, this is – I don't know. I don't think I would have put this team at number two, but this guy went with the Atlanta Braves, and I don't buy the Braves as a contender here at all for this. You know, maybe if they don't get Josh Donaldson back – I could see them possibly looking this way, you know, because if they get Donaldson back, that bumps Austin Riley back to the outfield, where if they lose Donaldson, it probably looks like Austin Riley will have to play third base like he did all throughout his minor league career. You know, obviously, if you could add, you know, a guy like Betts, you know, you're looking at Betts and Ronald Acuna Jr. in the same outfield. You know, and then you could do, you know, whatever you want with Nick Markakis and then Ender Inciarte. So, you know, it would be a fantastic 4-man outfield. But, you know, and the Braves do have the farm system to do it. I mean, so far they've been unwilling to move a lot of these guys. You know, I know they moved some lower-tier prospects to get some relief pitching last year. But, you know, to get a guy like Betts, you would have to move it probably at least one top guy. So it could be interesting to see how it shook out, but I don't buy Atlanta as a contender here. You know, and I'm almost wondering if maybe whoever wrote the article here, let me see if I can grab the name here real quick. Will Leach, I should have figured it's on MLB.com. I'm wondering if he just maybe went to the teams with the best farm systems and said, okay, these guys can go get him. Because as I move down the list here, the third team is the Padres. And again, this is another team that has been stocking up their farm system. So again, it's a team that could turn over prospects to bring in a guy like Betts. You know, it would be nice to see Betts in the same lineup, of course, with Manny Machado, you know, Eric Hosmer, and then, of course, a healthy Fernando Tatis Jr. You know, there wouldn't be any problem plugging him into the outfield. You know, they did just pick up Trent Grisham from the Brewers. So, you know, they could have a formidable outfield with the addition of Betts. But I, you know, I don't know. Is that a move they're looking to make? You know, I mean, I guess it would probably depend on the price. So we'll have to see. But here you go. Here's another one that makes absolutely no sense after the discussion Dan and I had earlier. The Mets, who have now 75 outfielders on their 40-man roster. I don't know what the hell they – I don't know if the Mets have anything to give up. You know, you're not giving up a Syndergaard or anything like that to get a one-year rental on Mookie Betts. You know, are you – you know, are you shipping off, like the article says here, are you shipping off J.D. Davis or Jeff McNeil? You know, you might have to send one just to clear space for him to play. I'm not sure if this was written before they acquired Mariznick or after. I hope it was written before, because if it was written after, it's incredibly stupid to put the Mets on this list. So I don't see this happening unless they're including their outfielders. I mean, are you sending Conforto and Nemo for Betts? Is that the deal you're making? Because you would need to clear out outfield space if you were going to do this. And I'm kind of under the impression where, you know, I'm kind of thinking the Red Sox are probably going to go prospect-wise here when they make this move. And we'll see how that works. But I don't buy the Mets here at all.
Don't they have to
now the next one. Hi, how are you?
I was going to say, don't the Red Sox have to go prospect-wise with the money situation they're in?
You know, obviously you could get some lower price major league contracts back, but yeah, I think you're kind of set there. You know, as I jump on to number five here, this one makes a little sense. You know, we get to the Phillies, who, if they could make this deal, would have an outfield of Andrew McCutchen, Bryce Harper, and Mookie Betts, which would be fantastic and probably the only, well, it would definitely be the only outfield in Major League Baseball where each guy has won an MVP. The Phillies have the farm system to do this. So I definitely think it's something they should look into. I wonder if they could sign him long-term if they brought him in. Do you think they could get something done with their stupid money after spending some on Wheeler as well?
I think so. I mean, you know, the one thing he didn't look into is if he's married and where the fam's from, but
I don't know where it's from, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that's kind of the case, if he wants to stay out in the East, you know, Philly's a good landing spot. Like you said, how awesome would that be to, it doesn't win a World Series, or doesn't guarantee a World Series in 2020, but I mean, to have the MVP outfield.
So, he's from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh yeah, I
so
knew that.
So I think Philadelphia would be close enough for that, right?
Well, there's no, you know, the Reds are the local. The Reds or the Braves are the local teams that they get to see. So I don't see him going to the Reds, you know.
So, all right, well, we move on to number six. And, again, like I said, I'm convinced that this guy just threw in teams with good minor league talent here, because number six is the White Sox. Now, I know the White Sox are in the market for an outfielder. You know, there's been some talks about Marcelo Zuna or possibly Nicholas Castellanos, which I thought was humorous. I do find it interesting that he thinks the White Sox would have to give up Luis Robert to get the job done, where he hasn't asked for a top prospect from any other team except the White Sox. So I would be interested to know why the Dodgers wouldn't have to give up Gavin Lux, but the White Sox would have to give up Luis Robert. So I find that kind of interesting. And I got to tell you, I'm not giving up Luis Robert for what could only be 1 year of Mookie Betts, because the White Sox aren't on the verge of winning the World. If Mookie Betts made me a World Series contender, I would do it for 1 year, but the White Sox aren't in that spot. So you're not getting my long-term prospect, who's rated number three overall now, for a guy I may only have for one season.
Well, and, you know, to touch on the Castellanos thing, It just absolutely killed me when I see the locals, the local Chicago stuff. Oh, the White Sox and the Cubs, they're going to be fighting it out for Tesla. Okay, you're just saying that because it's the only guy on the free agent market that you really have watched, because you're only covering the two teams here. So I laugh when I see the Castellano spot, which I don't think he'd be a bad landing spot for either team, but I think with what he did with the Cubs last year, that he might be looking to go to a playoff contending team. And
yeah,
maybe be that outfielder.
Well, you know. Well, we move on here on our list. Number seven, they have the Angels. Now, again, this is absolutely zero fit for me and doesn't make any sense. You know, you've got an outfield already that is Mike Trout, Justin Upton, and it looks like their top prospect, Joe Adell, is ready to play. You know, they let Cole Calhoun go so Adell would have a spot to play. So they go out and get Betts. Does that mean they deal Adell for Betts? Because you're not dealing Trout or Upton. So, again, you know, it puts me in that spot, Dan, where I'm giving you my top prospect that I've been jonesing to get to the major leagues for Mookie Betts for 1 year. And there's not much else in the Angels farm system. I mean, we're not talking about a top-tier farm system like these other teams. So I don't know. You know, Adell is the only possibility here. I mean, if Adell wasn't in the deal, then he's stuck in the minors. There's nowhere to play him because Ohtani DHs, and you got Pujols at first base. So I don't see the mechanics working here. I mean, while it would be cool to have an outfield that was Betts, Trout, and Upton, you know, it would be a fantastic outfield if Upton could stay healthy. But it doesn't work. You know, the numbers just don't add up.
No, and I mean, I think overall, no matter where he goes, I don't think it matters to Mookie Betts or his agency or whatever. I think he's going into free agency regardless, just to test the waters, which is the player's right. And I think in his situation, it's what he's going to do. Unless,
yeah, and then
you know, like you said, someone offers them an extension right away.
Yeah, you got the eighth team. He did put some other teams I'll go over real quick, but the eighth real team here on his list, and this could be interesting. You know, it's the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, they do have some minor league talent, including a top-tier catcher who's probably better than anybody Boston actually has on their roster. You know, the Cardinals pulled this off last year. You know, they went out and they got Paul Goldschmidt, and they were able to sign him. But remember, they were unable to do it with Jason Hayward. You know, they acquired Hayward with that last year on his deal, and they couldn't sign him. So you got to wonder where they sit with this. And, you know, you and I both know while St. Louis is small market, it's not really small market. But you do have to wonder, could they carry a Mookie Betts-type salary along with the deal they signed Goldschmidt to, you know, and then be able to kind of field that team around them, you know, keep enough guys around them to be competitive?
Well, and don't forget, they still have, what, 3 years left with Dexter Fowler and his kind of higher
price. Oh, yeah, I forgot
contract.
About him. So, well, yeah, but, you know, they would have, Fowler, Bader, and then Ozuna's a free agent, so they just wouldn't bring Ozuna back. So there would be a spot for him. So, but, yeah, I mean, I guess this is possible. I just don't know, you know, if it kind of works out. So, you know, we'll see. And then he throws in just some other kind of miscellaneous possibilities. As a rental, he could see the A's making a move like this. Obviously,
yeah.
I don't think if they did this, it would happen until the trade deadline. So
no.
He thinks that
like
the Nationals want to lose Rendon and Strasburg. They might be interested in doing something like this. He throws the Reds in here, even though they, you know, though they do have a slew of young outfielders. I guess they could move a couple of them if they wanted to. And then the Twins drop in here. I don't see that happening. I think you and I both know the Twins aren't in here. And then I'm under the impression that he was contractually obligated to put this team in, Dan. And that, of course, is. So, and we all know he's not going to the Yankees. So there you go.
No.
But, yeah, those are what they see as potential landing spots here for Mookie Betts. You know, some good, some bad. I don't buy, you know, a ton of them. I do believe that if he's traded, the Dodgers are going to be the team that are front and center in these negotiations. And I'll be really shocked that if he is moved, that if he doesn't end up in a Dodger uniform, I'll literally be just surprised.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really nice landing spot for him. But the one team, after you talked about it, kind of want to get your take on maybe a couple other, maybe your top three, or I guess part two, you know, two and three. But, you know, I kind of, even if they're not able to sign him, I kind of like that Cardinals. I feel like that's something they would do.
So, yeah, you know, like that is definitely a move they would make. Obviously, you know, I have the Dodgers far and away number one to sign him or to go trade for him. I don't see anybody else. I like the move for the Phillies if they could get something done.
Yeah.
You know, I think that could be fantastic. And then, yeah, I would probably put the Cardinals third because I know out of the three teams, they have the weakest farm system. You know, and the Dodgers and the Phillies could offer a lot more if they were going to make a deal like that.
So you're kind of seeing him ending up in the National League regardless, kind of at the end of the day.
Yeah, looking around the American League, you know, with the exception of the White Sox, you know, the teams, you know, obviously if it's going to be a prospect deal, you're looking at the Astros, but I don't know if that's something they're looking to do. You're looking at the Rays, and we damn well know that's nothing they're going to do. You could try to give them that, and they wouldn't take them. So, you know, but other than that, there aren't big farm systems. I mean, we mentioned the Twins, but I don't think the Twins could sign him. And I think that keeps them away from dealing him. You know, unless it's July 31st and they're, you know, they think they can win a World Series.
Yeah. Well, and
is this something you think possibly the Rangers could do? I don't know their minor league system that well, but could they jump in on this?
I think they could definitely be a surprise team. Kind of backtracking to the White Sox, the only thing I don't like about it is they, you know, and obviously philosophies can change based on the player, but I just don't see them with their history making a move like that. You know, they're generally trading away to get stuff, and then they sign the free agents, the bigger name free agents. So I just don't see that being in their books as part of their philosophy, but.
You know, while it would be a good move for them, you know, you could add Betts to that lineup that features, you know, the American League batting champion, you know, obviously Grandal, Abreu, and, you know, those guys. It would be fantastic. But I don't know, you know, that's kind of the move they make when they go, okay, we feel we're ready to win a World Series. And I don't think they're there yet. You know, maybe another year. So,
yeah, but
maybe Betts goes on the free agent market and the White Sox sign him?
I could see that as a possibility. I think the thing that just gets me, and it's not so much about the trade, it's just the terms. And it seems like Rick Hahn's MO lately is getting guys in there for longer than a year.
Go ahead and give them a like. Don't forget to Twitter feed if you want to see the time. this is just head on over to CNN.com and you can listen to whatever you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.